Good evening, saints, and God bless you this evening. Wishing everybody a happy new year that we haven't yet had the opportunity to do so yet this year. Trusting everybody had a good season, and wishing everybody, those joining on YouTube as well, a blessed year. Oh, sorry, something is coming on there. God bless, saints. So this evening, starting off this year, we wanted to start on something. If I bring up our screen, wanted to look at a prophet's adoption. On Sunday, we were speaking about a heavenly calling. We're speaking about calling. We're speaking about election and things like that. And I thought it was a very, very good, virtuous topic, something very helpful to have a look at how the Lord brought the prophet in our age to adoption, the things he went through, the lessons that he learned. And we can glean a lot of things from that, just as much as we can go back to Moses, we can go to Joseph, we can go to David. We can find out so many principles of how the Lord led them in their calling so they came to the fullness of what they were supposed to be, what they were called to be. And when just looking at this morning and during the day preparing, I saw we needed to backtrack a little bit, and it just brought me back to this particular topic of predestination, because it's a big one, because your calling goes together with predestination. And so many times we asked this particular question about predestination and foreknowledge. You know, it's like when Brother Brown preached marriage and divorce, he said, you know, there's some people who say one of them can get married if they've been married before. Some say both of them can get married, or no, it says some say both of them can be married. Some say none of them can be married again. He says, but the truth is in the middle. So again, on this one of predestination and foreknowledge, I find this question comes up just on such a regular basis, because if there's one thing Satan's going to try to hit a believer with, is on the issue of predestination. You get a little bit low in spirit, maybe go through an unfruitful season inside of your life, and Satan comes and starts speaking to you about your election, about your predestination and so forth. So I thought it would be quite a good way maybe just to start the year to give us a foundation of predestination and foreknowledge. And then we can build on that and get into the practicalities of the prophet, his ministry, you know, his predestination, his calling, and then how the Lord led him all the way through the different stages of his ministry to his adoption, to his the fullness of his position in Christ, positionally placed in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, like Paul said. And that's where each and every one of us is called unto, as we'll see. But this one of predestination and foreknowledge, it can be a tricky one. And I just really hope this evening I don't make more questions than I answer. You know, some of these topics can be like that. So it's one of these ones where it helps us to understand also how to study the message, because you're going to have to glean certain things from certain quotes and understand certain things, as we'll see, to come to a real understanding, to reconcile things within the message. Because sometimes you can take certain quotes seem to say something about foreknowledge. Sometimes they seem to say something else. And you know, I think by the grace of God, if you could help us this evening, we can tie it together to the best of our ability. If you know better than me, wonderful, you let me know. If I don't 100% hit it on the head and you think, no, I don't quite agree, great, that's what questions are for. You know, these things here, they are speaking of eternal things. These are the things of the purposes of God. Now, these are great, vast things. And sometimes our human mind to understand these things, to reconcile things that sometimes don't seem to be able to be reconciled easily, it really does need the grace of God. So that's what we're looking for this evening as we look at predestination and foreknowledge. Let's pray first. Lord Jesus, we do desire your grace. We desire your mercy. We need it upon this evening, Lord, just to, Father, follow thee is our desire. Lord, you said they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes, and that's what we desire. Give us wisdom. Give us plainness of speech and plainness of understanding. Father, you said you'd give us the spirit of truth to lead us into all truth. So help us, Father, we pray, and bless each of your people that has joined, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So God bless you, saints. Now we're speaking today about these kind of things with Brother Vlad. And I'm just saying, Brother Vlad, normally in the Bible studies, we try to address issues that people are asking. There's so many other things we could look at, interesting things. But sometimes I find it pretty virtuous that if there's a deep inside of people seeking for an answer about something, it's good to seek the Lord and to get into the Word and to seek an understanding concerning those things, because you appreciate an answer only when you really have the question. So, you know, I think if the Lord would help us to minister an answer to this, which is a very, very pertinent issue. It's a big issue. I mean, this has divided the Christian world over time, the Calvinists and the Arminius. And, you know, you find this has been a big division in the Christian world on predestination, foreknowledge. So we just want to try in our own simple way just to follow this through this evening. So Paul tells us straight away in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. So, you know, I know Brother Ram says that. He says predestination is a dirty word in many places. I mean, it's a Bible word. It's a scriptural word. So if it's in the Bible, it's our inheritance. No, it's part of our land that has been given unto us under the Joshua Commission. You know, we're the seed of Abraham. This is part of our land that's been given to us, revealed to us, restored to us by revelation. So we desire to walk left, right, up, down, north, south, east, and west on our inheritance to appreciate the things the Lord has given to us. So Paul says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So that's where I got it from, because once you get into speaking of the prophet's adoption, your position in Christ, it straight away brings you to this scripture which speaks of predestination. So we needed just to knock it on the head first of all. And he says, according to the good pleasure of his will. So when he predestines you, when you are predestinated, it is in Christ Jesus. So it's a part of redemption, and it's according to the good pleasure of his will. So this is a divine program. And he purposed this mystery plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. You know, he didn't take counsel with you and I and would say, look, do you guys mind if I do this? Or would you mind? No, no, no. No, he didn't worry about that. He knows better than you and I. So he predestined. This purpose, this plan, he took counsel with himself before the foundation of the world. And this was according to the counsel of his own will. So this is according to his will. And who is going to stand in the way of God's will? Who's going to argue with the Lord? I mean, you're going to be a lot smarter than me to do that. Paul also says in Ephesians 1, verse 11, in whom also, speaking of being in Christ, so he's speaking of the elect, he's speaking of the bride, those that are in Christ, those are baptized into the body of Christ by one Spirit are we baptized. He's not speaking of foolish virgin, he's speaking of those that are in Christ. He says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Wow. Now, those are serious scriptures. If you get your adoption series and you see Brother Ram says, go and trace through, get the Spirit on you, he says, and go and trace through your Bible the mystery of his will. I mean, because it's not just a theoretical topic. That's what's happening in your life. That's what's happening in mine on a minute-by-minute, second-by-second basis. That would explain to you everything you've been through, and more so since you became a believer. And it'll explain to you, you know, the purpose and plan that he has, the mystery of his will. That's the mystery of his will for you, the purposes and plans that he has for you. You know, so he's predestinated his bride according to his own purpose. So he has a purpose in doing this. Now, that's what you were saying on the weekend. God doesn't call you without there being a purpose. If you're predestined, you are predestinated for a purpose. If he called you, because they're predestinated or called, you're called according to his purpose. That's the thing. And we want to make sure we find that purpose, know his will, and walk in his will in this year by the grace of God. Now, John on Patmos, when he saw the apocalypse, the unveiling, the book of Revelation, he's found out that They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So we see straight away that names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now, see, these issues of predestination, these issues of election, these issues of calling, they're not issues now. They're issues that God is dealing with now. God has determined these things from before the foundation of the world. When he wrote certain people in his book, and it says that there were certain people not even written in his book, it says their names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb. So there's a lot in this, yeah, as we'll see it. It's a deep topic, and we really appreciate, especially your Seven Church Age book is a masterpiece concerning these things, the book of life, predestination, election, and so forth. So we'll just try to break it down a bit and simplify this evening if we can. David, speaking of it in Psalm 139, speaking of just how all-encompassing this is. He says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book were all my members written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. He says, so even before you made me, you wrote everything about me in your book. In thy book, all my members are written. The color of eyes that I'd have, type of hair that I would have, color of my skin. Everything was written in your book as when as yet there was none of them. That's powerful. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Now, David started to consider predestination. He started to consider God's purposes and God's wisdom, God's calling, the hand of God in everything, including the way you fashioned and formed, where you're born, the race you are, the language you speak. All of these things are covered by predestination. These were things that he determined in himself according to the good pleasure of his will before the foundation of the world. And he wrote you in his book before the foundation of the world. So nothing's going to take God by surprise. And he's not going to call you today and then regret it tomorrow and say, I should never have called Clayton. No. If that was how it was, he never would have called you in the beginning. So he who begins the good work in you is going to complete it, because this is his purpose. This is his program. This is the plan that he has. So take an eye to the Bible dictionary, the word predestined. It literally means to mark out beforehand or set the limits or the boundaries in advance of any place or thing. So you're setting boundaries before. So the Lord, he sets the boundaries for Reuben, sets the boundaries for Gad, sets the boundaries for Judah, sets the boundaries for Levi, even before they get there. And then they move into their inheritance. But each of them has boundaries that are given to them. They're not all given the same boundaries. Each one has an individual call. So to predestine, you're marking out before and you're setting boundaries. Yeah, it's a very interesting thought. So God, in our lives, he's already set the limits and boundaries for us. Now, King Uzziah, his boundaries, if he could have stayed within them, were to be a great king, making great weapons of war and fortifying the cities of Judah. But then he went beyond the limits and boundaries that predestination had laid out for him, that his calling had called him to. He wasn't equipped for anything outside of the boundaries that predestination had laid out for him. And that's going to be the same as you and I. And that's why God has set these boundaries for us even before we get here. You're not just going to prosper anyway. Reuben's not going to prosper if he goes and tries to grow wheat in Gad's territory. And Levi is not going to do very well trying to raise sheep, because he's supposed to be looking after the temple. So you need to be careful. You're not just going to prosper anywhere as a believer. These things are predestined for us. Place, time, position, who you to fellowship with, who you to marry. All of these things were written in his book before the foundation of the world. This is the mystery of his will. And it's up to us to yield ourselves to him, to walk by faith, to walk in the Spirit, to discover and to walk in this mystery of his will. But as we'll see, there's our will and there's the mystery of his will. And that's where the conflict comes in many, many times. So he's marked out our boundaries in advance. So you're not just going to prosper doing anything at any time. Everything has an appointed time. There's an appointed season to every purpose under heaven. Now, the lives of the elect work seasonally. You can run ahead of God like David. You may be appointed unto something, but you try to run too quickly. Or you may not be running quickly enough. You know, and you can find yourself now falling out, and the Lord has to quicken you back into the center of the course that he called you to, the center of his, the purpose, the will that he called you to. And that's one of the keys to adoption, as we'll see it, is that God appoints all of these things to us before time. If a prophet's going to come across a group of Christians one day, he sees on their cars bumper stickers saying Jesus only, and he feels moved in his soul, goes inside. Misha Walker, he now is asked to preach. God blesses him. God has appointed that before, and has set boundaries and parameters that he wants him to operate within. But then he allows his mother-in-law to speak him out of those boundaries and parameters. And as we'll see as we get into the prophet's adoption, that this is a very important thing, to stay within the boundaries that the Lord has set you. Even when the going gets tough, like Abraham, and there comes a famine in the land, but that's his land. The boundaries were laid out by the Lord. Now, from the Great Sea to the river, to the Great Sea to the going down of the sun, from the Jordan all the way to the Mediterranean, to the entering on of Egypt, that was given unto Abraham. And when the famine came, now, unfortunately, he allowed the circumstances to take him out of the boundaries that were set for him by predestination. And that's when he almost got it, lost his wife down there in Egypt and all that. And then he came back and God brought him back into the boundaries again. Then God started to bless him again. So it's working within these boundaries that are predestined to you and I. That's finding the mystery of his will for your life. And what is your purpose? What is your call? What are the boundaries God has called you to? Now, God maybe called me to be a minister, but he didn't call me to be a prophet. Now, so if I come and I start correcting the prophet, I'm outside of my boundaries, you see, because that's not the, I'm supposed to operate within the boundaries that are set for me. And a wife, she's not supposed to try to do the husband's job. That's not the boundaries that were set for her. Yeah, so he's got to stay within his boundaries, and the wife's got to stay within her boundaries as well. So that's predestination, marking up these boundaries. It says, when used of persons, this word predestination means to put limitations upon that person, thus conveying the ideas of to determine someone's destiny. So God determined your destiny before you were born. He made a plan. He has a purpose. He wants to get you to a certain place. And that's why he's going to put limitations on you. You're not going to be able to live like other people. You're not going to be able to get away with things that other people get away with, because God has predestined you. And God has boundaries and parameters for you in your life that other people don't have, because you are predestined and they are not. We'll see it as we go along. So in Romans 8, verse 29, Paul says that God has predetermined the destiny or the future of each believer. And it's a glorious future in which he or she will be like Christ, conformed to the image of his son. So we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, Paul says. So we are predestined as he takes us through this great course, this great path that is ordained for us. We are predestined to be more and more like Christ, molded and made more and more like Christ. Because that's the purpose, that's the goal. He wants to fashion Christ in us. So he's working on our character, working on our nature. That's all what he's predestinating us for. And then one day he'll give us a body like unto his own glorious body. And we'll be in the fullness of our adoption now. You know, we'll be glorified, fully glorified, which is the believer's position, the end result of this great purpose that God has for us. Now, the thing to understand is, he didn't predestine us because we would believe. Rather, we believe because we are predestinated. Now, this is where the big question comes in about foreknowledge. Some people say, and we'll see it, because there's certain quotes that seem to say that God, he predestinated us because of his foreknowledge. God looked in the future and he knew the decisions we would make. Therefore, he predestinated us. Now you'll see many people lean towards that, but that's not actually the fullness of what was revealed in the message. That's not really the fullness of scripture. God didn't predestine us because he looked forward in time and saw, oh, I see Sasha, he'll believe on me, therefore I'm going to write him in my book. No. The reason you believe on him is because he wrote you in his book. You see, there's a big difference there. And this is the big, big thing, the big tug and war that goes on. And even in the message, you find some people lean towards certain quotes and some people lean this side. So we'd like to try to just bring it together to see, how do you balance this equation? But I just want to say it straight from the beginning that scripturally, what I put on there now is absolutely the truth. You know, that God didn't predestine us because we'd believe, but because he predestinated us, we believe. And we can see that scripturally because Jesus said in John 6, verse 37, all the Father hath given me, all the Father giveth me shall come unto me. You know, it's not that if people come unto me, you know, they'll be my children. No. The ones that the Father gave to me before the foundation of the world, they the ones that are going to come unto me. You see, that's the principle of the word. Predestination rules and governs all things from the beginning. God set these boundaries, these parameters, wrote everything in a book. The Lamb was slain, and then he brought people on the earth. You know, God already had made the plan long before you and I were there. He says in John 15, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And what were you chosen for? And ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. So it's not that we chose him, that God just scattered, you know, people throughout the world and hoped that people would believe on him. And the people who believed on him, he chose them and said, okay, you believed, you chose me, therefore I'm going to choose. No, 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 no. The reason we choose Christ is because he's already chosen us. I put a little thing out yesterday and it said that we love because we were loved. And we choose him because we were chosen. And that's the truth. The reason we choose Christ is because you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. You know, so that's the thing of, and that's what people don't like. You know, and I can understand why. It depends on which side of predestination that you're on. If you're in the body of Christ, you see the glory of predestination. If you're not in the body of Christ, you start saying, but maybe I'm not predestinated. And that's okay. We'll get on to that by the grace of God. So it continues on in the Bible dictionary. So to predestine, this word predestine reminds us that God is the supreme historian who wrote all history before it ever began. Friends, that's an historian. Yeah, historians normally wait for history to unfold, then they write history. God wrote the entire history before it even began. That's what predestination is all about. And it is therefore not surprising that predestined, pro orizo, is used only of God in the New Testament. I mean, there's no one else that can predestine. Who else knows the end from the beginning? Who else can take counsel with himself and appoint and ordain with omniscience and with omnipotence? Yeah, no one. It's only God who has the power to predestine. And he did from before the foundation of the world. He predestined all of these things. He predestined us unto the adoption of children. That's what Paul told us. Now, so you can see predestination, it's a blessed, blessed truth. Now, let me read you one quote, and we'll start seeing where now the questions start coming a little bit in the message. Now, Brother says, now there's a doctrine of predestination which is rotten. Yes, and there is. You know, that predestination where God's not in control of it is rotten. Now, if it's left to you and I to fulfill the program of God without God appointing us to do it, that's rotten because we're not going to get the job done. He says, there's a doctrine of predestination which is rotten nonsense, but there's really a true predestination. May the Lord help us to get into that. Now, listen to what he says in the next paragraph. God, by foreknowledge, could predestinate because he has foreknowledge. So it would seem that he's saying that God predestinated us. He let us go forth into life. He knew the choices we'd make. And because he knew, he would predestinate. Now that's tricky because, you know, There's lots of other places in the message, especially the church age book, and he doesn't say that. So we need to reconcile these things. He says, God is not willing that any should perish. That's true. But being the infinite God, he knew those that would perish and those who would not. Now, I love it in the message when you reconcile things because, you know, some people say, well, I think this quote maybe supersedes that quote and this. No, you'll understand what he said just absolutely truth, but you've got to understand it in the context that he's saying it. We'll see it as we go. He's speaking of a certain type of predestination here. There's a certain class of people he's speaking about. So he says, God by foreknowledge could predestine because he has foreknowledge. You know, so he's putting the emphasis here on foreknowledge rather than predestination. Okay, so let's understand why he's doing that. Now, the first thing we need to say here is everyone and everything is covered by divine foreknowledge. Everything that takes place, the prophet says, every flea that bats its eye, and how many times it bats its eye, God knew that before the foundation of the world. Every hair on your head is numbered. I mean, hey, guys, you know, there's nothing. Everything is covered by foreknowledge. So God has to know everything from the beginning. God has never had a new thought. Otherwise, he's not God. God is not now learning. No, he already knows everything. We know it from the church age book, the eternal thoughts of God. His thoughts are eternal. They're unchanging. But not everyone or everything is covered by predestination. So foreknowledge covers everything. God knows everything, but not everything is predestinated. Okay, so here's the human race. Try to put it in the picture. Here's the multitudes that have been born since Adam and Eve, the first, since Abel came forth, right the way down to where we are now. That's the human race. Every single one of these people is foreknown. God's foreknowledge, because he's omniscient and he knows all things. He knows every single person, every choice they'll make, every decision, every thought they'll think, every sin, every trespass, every transgression, every iniquity, every good deed that is done, every kind word that is said. He knew that from before the foundation of the world. So the whole human, everything to do with the human race is foreknown. But, so let's say these people here, every one of them that you can see there is foreknown by God. But not everyone in that human race is predestined by God. You see, that's the key to it. If you start understanding that there's two categories here, there's people that are foreknown, yes, and there's people that are foreknown and are predestinated. Because if you're predestinated, obviously you're foreknown as well. God knew you before you were born. Everybody is foreknown, but not everybody is predestinated. So foreknowledge, it covers you and I as well. God knows everything about us. That's how he could you know, he knows every thought. He knows every purpose. He knows everything the devil will ever think. He knows every purpose and plan that your enemies have against you long before they were born. You know, so he can predestinate. So he can handle things because he knows all things. And these predestined, the ones in the circle there, that group, the tithings of the people, are the ones that he says in Romans 8, these are the called according to his purpose. Doesn't mean everybody else is called according to his purpose. Everybody else is foreknown. Everybody's part of his creation, but not everybody is the called according to his purpose. So we're speaking of two different aspects here. So let's first consider general salvation. Because look what the prophet said here in that quote. Second paragraph, God is not willing that any should perish, but being the infinite God, he knew those that would perish and those who would not. So God doesn't want anybody to perish. When God looks down at this great multitude, whether you're foreknown or predestinated, God doesn't want anybody to perish. That's the scripture, and that's the nature of God. God is love. He cannot desire somebody to perish. No, he doesn't desire anybody to perish. The Bible makes that very, very clear to us. So when you're speaking of salvation now, out of all of these people, the human race, many, most are going to be lost. Yet they were foreknown. God knew they were going to be lost. God knew the decision they would make when the gospel came their way, because according to the message warning their judgment, the prophet says, God never calls anyone to judgment without warning them first. If God came to Hezekiah and told him, set your house in order, for thus saith the Lord, you will die and not live, the prophet says, God cannot show favoritism. Every single soul before it's about to die, to go to judgment, God has to in some way come and warn that soul to set its house in order. That's what he says in God doesn't call a man to judgment without warning him first. So every one of these souls here that God foreknew, he gives them an opportunity at salvation. He doesn't want them to perish. So he's going to come at some time. He's going to offer them salvation. And some of them, few there be that find it, are going to accept salvation, including you and me. And of those that accept salvation, not all that accept salvation are predestined. Only the called are predestined. So there's going to be a lot of people saved that were not predestined, that are not the elect, that are not the bride, that are not the called according to his purpose. But they're saved because God is not willing that any should perish. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever will, whosoever will, the net is thrown wide on that. So concerning salvation, we're not speaking now of election, not speaking of adoption, we're not speaking of that. Salvation, every single one that he foreknew, God desires to come to salvation. But by his foreknowledge, he knew whether they would or whether they wouldn't. He knew the rich young ruler, though he loved him and gave him an opportunity unto salvation, the rich young ruler, by his own will, would choose his own way and would lose eternal life. You know, so he's one of the lost there. Obviously, he wasn't predestinated, because none of the predestined can be lost. Because these are the sons and daughters of God. God cannot lose his own thoughts, the prophet says. God cannot lose his own seed. God cannot lose his own children. So in that circle, there's a group of people that were foreknown. God sent the truth their way. They were saved. But there's another step further. Not only were they saved, they were also predestined unto the adoption of children, because they are the called, they are the elect. So we can see there's three groups of people there. There's always the three groups. There's the predestined, there's the elect. That's the wise virgin. The foolish virgin, they're saved, but they're not the bride. And then there's those that are lost. In the prophecies, you're always going to find these three groups of people. So I think just when you start understanding, now we're going to go back in a minute to read the quotes again, and you'll start understanding when the prophet is speaking about God by foreknowledge knew who would and wouldn't be saved. He's not speaking of the elect when he speaks those things. He's speaking of this general group of people outside the elect. God is not willing. Let me just read that quote again. So he says, God by foreknowledge would predestinate because he has foreknowledge. God is not willing that any should perish, but being the infinite God, he knew those who would perish and who would not. Now, so Brother Ram's not contradicting scripture there. Now, he's keeping the principles exactly right. He's realizing there's different groups of people. So you say, is there any predestination in just the general population of the world? Yes, there's a measure of predestination. Because if there's a person in the Muslim world today, they're not the elect, they're not the bride, but they're seeking for salvation. They don't want to perish. God will predestinate in some way. He'll move people from place to place. He works in wondrous ways, mysterious ways, his wonders to perform, to get the gospel to that person. God will predestinate in some way that the gospel will get to that person because that person is seeking for forgiveness before they die, even if they're not the elect. But God will in some way, in a measure of predestination, he'll make sure they hear a certain something on the internet, somebody will send them something, they'll meet somebody in an unusual place, an unexpected place, an unexpected time. And you'll see there that there's a measure of that. You could say like in a natural sense, you know, God, because he loves, he's going to make sure that soul that's seeking for truth is going to bring truth to that person. So he says, and now let's just go a bit further in the message. So this is what he says in Jehovah Jireh. Now he says, he is infinite and he is omniscient, means he knows all things. Because that's the way he predestinates us, by foreknowledge. Not because he desired that this person should be saved and this one lost. So the prophet said, when you look at this picture, God didn't say, all those people in the yellow there, I want them to be lost. He never said that. God never said, these people will never have a chance. I'm predestinating them to go to hell. No, that's contradicting scripture. You can't say God is not willing that any should perish. Christ died for the whole world. So the prophet's making it clear now that God, by foreknowledge, he could see who wanted to be saved and you know who would reject the truth. So he could predestinate in a sense like that. He says, he's infinite, he's omniscient, because that's the way he predestinates us, by foreknowledge. Not because he desired that this person should be saved or this one lost, but he knew who would be lost and who would be saved, see? Therefore, by his foreknowledge, he can predestinate. Now, so there's a measure of predestination there. So this is speaking about someone being predestinated unto salvation. Because they desire salvation, God is going to bring salvation to them. He looked down through time. He saw everyone that would desire salvation. He moved events. He did different things to bring the knowledge of salvation to these people because that's his nature. That's the divine nature. Yeah. But now he goes further now. Now he goes to another group of people. He says, but now see, the gifts and callings are without repentance. So okay, that's fine. So when he's speaking of salvation, he says, people being lost, he says, okay, that's one thing. But he says, but now we're speaking of something different in predestination now when we start speaking about the gifts and callings of God. He says, because the gifts and callings without repentance. Now in purple, he said that Jesus couldn't help being the Son of God. That's very interesting what he's saying here. He's developing the thought, friends, to a very, very powerful place. He's speaking about gifts and callings now. The elect or the called. You know, there's other people that just accepted salvation there. It doesn't mean they were called. There was no calling in their life. It was just the goodness of God to give them eternal life, give them a white robe at the great, great white throne judgment. But Jesus couldn't help being the Son of God. He was the Son of God, foreordained, predestinated before the foundation of the world, and even slain before the foundation of the world. He says, you see, that's right. Now, I'm sure we'll all agree, Jesus didn't become a son by foreknowledge. God didn't look down through time and say, okay, I like him. I'm going to make him my son. No, he was always a son. Firstly, he was a son in the bosom of his father. Then in due season, he was manifest in the flesh. And everything that he needed when he came to earth, he was manifested at a certain time in a certain place for a specific purpose, according to the eternal counsel and decree of the Most High. And everything that he needed to fulfill that purpose was predestinated in him. He was equipped with it when he was born. Now, if that's true for the Son of God, Jesus, it's going to hold true for every one of the sons and daughters of God. The same principle. And God didn't look through time and say, who's going to feel sorry for me? I'll make them my children. That's a real denominational understanding of adoption. It's not that kind of adoption we're speaking of. We adopt somebody else's children. Adoption is your position in Christ God didn't adopt us. We were his children. He didn't adopt us like that. Adoption is the placing of a son. That is your son. But when he gets to a certain level of maturity, now you place him positionally. Now his name on the check is the same as your name on the check. You know, so the prophet's speaking of a different category here. Then he continues on the next paragraph. Isaiah saw John the Baptist 712 years before he was born. Now, that's a different kind of foreknowledge here. And he said, he's the one of voice, the voice crying in the wilderness. He says, Is that right? He couldn't help being John the Baptist. He was John the Baptist because God had ordained him John the Baptist. So John couldn't help being John. He was ordained. He was appointed. This is predestination now. This was not his choice, John. This was a divine choice. So these other people that we're speaking about over here that are saved, they make a human choice. God's goodness reveals Christ on the cross to them, reveals the shed blood, and they make a human choice and they accept God and they're saved. But when we're speaking of the predestined, yes, we also have to start the same way. We have to accept Christ when it's revealed to us. But then you start realizing after that that it wasn't really your choice. It was his choice. Because predestination now speaks of the divine choice. He was John the Baptist because God had ordained him John the Baptist. And he was predestined for a specific purpose. He was to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, according to the spoken word prophecy. In due season, he was the fulfillment of the word. He was the word in his day. He was fulfilling the divine purpose, the divine program of God in his day. Now, just to show, John the Baptist is a very good example concerning choice. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. There's no choice in that. This was God's choice. This was a divine choice. That's the elect. That's the called according to his purpose. That's the chosen. That's the body of Christ now when you speak this side of Calvary. That's the election that God works according to election. That's God calling people for a very specific purpose, that they must be the word in their age. They're to express Christ in their day. They are the body of Christ. Yeah. So this different category. Can you see? I don't know if you can see. I know I'm laboring the point because it's a big point in the message. Some people take those quotes from the prophet and say, yes, God predestined us by foreknowledge. Yeah, it depends on which category of person you are. If you're the elect, he never predestined you by foreknowledge. He didn't do that. You were always a son. You were in him as a son. You know? And in due season, he predestined you to be born at a certain place, a certain time, predestined you to fulfill a certain purpose. And he equipped you. It was in the gene, spiritual gene, the seed that he put inside of you to fulfill that particular purpose in that place and at that time. And he predestinated other ones of his children to be with you to fulfill that purpose at that time. You're predestined to become under a certain seal. You're predestined to come in a certain age. You're predestined to come in a certain place at a certain time, a certain generation, so that you can fulfill a divine purpose because the call of God is upon your life. Now, that doesn't include, now we've excluded 99 point something percent of the world population now by saying that. But it doesn't mean God doesn't love the other 99%. It doesn't mean he's predestined them to go to hell. He didn't do that. No, he didn't. They have a chance of salvation. There's going to be a city, the new city, Jerusalem, and the elect are going to dwell in the city. But the rest of the earth is going to be populated by the kings of the earth and all the people that come in, bringing their tithes, bringing their tribute into the city. And the people outside of the city are not going to be the same as the people in the city. The people outside of the city, the prophet says, will be like Adam and Eden. They'll eat and drink, they'll sleep, they'll plant, they'll grow, they'll bring their produce. They'll have their new moons and different things, the Bible says. But the people in the city, they're in the image of God. They are living in the light of the Lamb. The city has no need of the night. We shall rule and reign with him. Can you see where this comes to, saints? It really opens up a lot of things. But I'm just trying to show the balance here the prophet is keeping. There's this group, he uses the word predestinated in it. But you got to understand what he's trying to say when he says those that are saved are predestinated. Like Nicodemus, he wasn't lost. The prophet said he'll be given a white robe at the white throne judgment because of the good that he showed to the children of God. He says, and Gamaliel and people who stood for the children of God in the hour of need, they weren't predestinated the same way as you and I. They weren't called to the same high calling, but they served a purpose. They were predestinated in a sense. They did have a calling in a sense, like your parents, maybe if they're not believers, to bring you forth and to raise you up and so forth. And yeah, and many of them will come in at the end because of that. But that's the goodness and the grace of God. And that is based on foreknowledge. And God did that. But now when he's speaking of the elect, we're speaking of a different category of people. And that's what he's got onto now. This is the real predestination. This is the real scriptural predestination he's speaking about now. This is the ones that Jesus said, all that my Father has given unto me, I've lost none of them. You know, and he will lose none. We were given to him of the Father. That is the elect. Those are the ones we're speaking about here. Now he finishes off. He now comes to Jeremiah. He says, I believe Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah 1 verse 4. Let's just read it. Jeremiah 1 verse 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. That's foreknowledge. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee, that's predestination, a prophet unto the nations. So that's what I'm saying. The bride, the elect are both foreknown and they predestinated. Everybody else is just foreknown. And in that foreknowledge, God may grant them salvation. If they're seeking for salvation, God will bring salvation to them. Yeah, because God doesn't want them to perish. So he says, I believe it was Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah 1 verse 4, he said, before he was even formed in his mother's womb. Sure. God has set in the church first apostles and prophets and so forth. And he brings it to the New Testament now. Now, so for him to fulfill his purpose in each day, each age, each generation, he's got to have his seed. And notice I put it in purple, that God has set in the church, in the elect, in the body of Christ. There's a difference here than in the world. There's a big, big difference. Different category of people, different category of divine operation. God's grace reaches out to everybody. But friends, to his children, there's a specific purpose. There's a high calling. There was a John the Baptist. He never chose to be John the Baptist. He never chose to be Elijah. But there was a purpose. God needed an Elijah and says, you will be my Elijah. And I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost from your mother's womb. And I'm going to put the equipment inside of you so you can see visions and so that you can prophesy. That had nothing to do with his choice. That was a divine choice. That was predestined and written in his book before the foundation of the world. That was his eternal decree, the decree that he decreed within himself. Then he finishes off. He says, Moses was born in this world and a gifted boy. He was born to be a prophet, a deliverer, a divine purpose, at a divine junction in time. He was born with the equipment born in him. As every man that comes into the world is born with this equipment. So when he's saying every man, he's meaning everyone of the elect. Most of the world doesn't have divine equipment in them to fulfill a divine purpose, do they? They don't. It's the elect. It's the called out. It's the chosen. It's those that he wrote in that portion of the book of the Lamb's book of life, whose names, he says, can never be erased. It's the sons and daughters of God that come into this world with predestined equipment born into them to fulfill a very specific purpose within boundaries and parameters that he himself has set for them. He says, listen to what he says. He says in purple, as every man that comes into the world is born with this equipment, as I firmly believe in the foreknowledge of God and predestination. So he's a different kind of foreknowledge of God he's speaking of here and predestination than he did at the beginning of the quote. When he's speaking about the general man out there who just wants to be saved, there's a certain foreknowledge, yes, a certain predestination in a natural kind of a sense. But this is a different kind of foreknowledge and predestination here. This is the real scriptural foreknowledge and predestination that he's speaking about here. Every man that's foreordained has the equipment built into them. Now let's finish it off by just confirming what we're saying by looking at this word calling. We are called. Oh, somebody is drawing us a good picture there, Brother Greg. General and effectual calling. So when the Bible says we are called according to his purpose, we are the called. We've been called out. The church means the called out. That word, calling, is kletos. And it has two meanings. Number one, the call to salvation. So to call signifies to invite to the blessings of the gospel, to offer salvation through Christ. This calling is general, extending to all mankind. So there's the general gospel call. Can you see? But then the second meaning of calling is an effectual calling. There's likewise a calling by the Spirit that is not resisted and clearly describes an effectual calling. Okay, so what does effectual mean? Effectual means producing the effect intended. So there's a certain call when God is going to call Moses. This isn't Moses' choice. It's an effectual call. When he hears the voice of God, there's something inside of him that's going to come to life. Something's going to kick in, and the real Moses, the prophet, is going to start to express itself. That's an effectual call. It's something that when the calling comes, it produces an intended effect. It also means having power adequate to the purpose intended. So in the call is the power to fulfill the purpose that you are called to. Remember the two boys smoking coming to the Branham Tabernacle, and both wanted to give up smoking, both came to the altar. One managed to give up smoking, the other one couldn't give up. The prophet says, one of them was called and the other one wasn't. Doesn't mean the other one couldn't be saved, but one was predestined, one was called. So in the call was the power to overcome. In the book of John, John 1 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Friends, that's why you'll find that sometimes, I remember once in our church back in Zimbabwe, one brother, he was baptized. I remember speaking to him not long ago. He says, brother, he says, do you realize the day I was baptized, there were 17 of us baptized. I'm the only one still standing. And many people will testify of that. You'll look inside and say, but wow, why are you still standing? It's not by power, friends. It's not by might. It's not by your goodness. It's the calling of God inside of your life. Because with the calling comes the power. Because you are called according to his purpose. You are called to fulfill something in this age. You are to reflect Christ. You are to be the word made manifest in this day. And that's why in the call, it's an effectual call. When God calls John the Baptist, it's effective. It doesn't matter what John thinks. Yeah. If Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh, in the call, it doesn't matter, he's going to go to Nineveh in the end, because this is what God has purposed in himself. This is his purpose that he called this man for. He may go the easy way, he may go the hard way. We'll see it when you get into the prophet's adoption. There's lessons he had to learn, but you're going to get there because he who began the good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Because this is not a human program. This isn't you and I trying to do this and trying to do that. No, this is God. I know the plans. I know the purposes I have for you, says the Lord. Before you were born, I ordained you in your mother's womb. Even your members, I wrote them in my book even before they came into existence. This is a divine program, a very, very powerful divine program. Oh, my. Now, it finishes off. The effectual call of God is tantamount to his sovereign choice. That's what it is. So when he's speaking of this kind of call, this is God's sovereign choice. This is the sovereignty of God. This is that he chose you because he chose you, because he loved you. You're his son. You were in him before the foundation of the world. And finally, it is wholly within the bounds of the effectual calling that believers are termed the called ones. So it's only the second category of call that is really the elect. You can only be the called ones, the called out, the church, when you have this kind of a calling. This kind of a calling, like Peter and James and John and Peter, come and follow me, and boom, something happens. Saul on the way to Damascus, Christ comes, reveals himself. He's no longer Saul of Tarsus. He becomes Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an effectual call. It's that kind of call in the life of a person. That's the real call. But God in his goodness, for the rest of his creation, he has a general gospel call because he's not willing that any should perish. But now there's a higher level of call, and he calls his elect by this call, and you're called according to his purpose. It says, thus the elect, the called, are thus distinguished from the general mass of population, who though subject to a general call, are not effectually called. So the whole world, because God loved the world, they're subject to a general call. God doesn't want them to perish. Christ died for their sins. Jesus died for the sins of the world. Imagine, it's a powerful thing to think about. So they can accept salvation, they can be saved. That's the good, and we should rejoice in that, saints. There's Lot down in Sodom. If Lot's delivered from Sodom, wonderful. He's not an Abraham, but at least someone's been delivered from Sodom. They didn't perish in the burnings of Sodom. But there's a difference with Abraham because he's the called, according to his purpose, to bring forth Isaac, Christ in his age. And that's exactly the calling of the believer now, effectually called. So there's people that you'll meet that are just have a general gospel call inside of their life. That's okay. Yeah, maybe they don't have a higher calling. It's not their inheritance. But then once in a while, you're going to hit that person that's predestined unto these things, and you bring them the message, you show them the truth, the light strikes the seed, something comes to life. Whom? In they come. They're one with you within a short space of time. And then they start finding their position in the body of Christ. They now start finding their purpose, walking in their calling, and they become a blessing to the body of Christ. Now, the last scripture, just to show that what you're saying is very scriptural, 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, Paul says, who has saved us, speaking of Christ, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Yeah, you can really, really see, friends, the prophet, the message is a restoration. These mysteries that are revealed to Paul, the prophet just came and exploded them out. He did. You go and search in the table and go and search for foreknowledge and predestination. Go and read the quotes. It is powerful. And it's so scriptural. You see, that's what I like about it. So what I've just tried to do this evening is try to show the balance there. Why sometimes it seems the prophet says predestination speaks of foreknowledge. Yeah, God doesn't want anybody to perish. That's true. Apply that quote to the right category of people, and it's absolutely the truth. But there's another set of quotes that he's bringing us. John the Baptist never chose to be John the Baptist. Isaiah never chose to be a prophet. He was ordained. Jeremiah never chose to be a prophet. He was ordained from his mother's womb. You know, there's another category here. This is not God choosing by foreknowledge. This is pure predestination. Like Paul says, which was given us in Christ before the world began. God made up his mind. Clayton's my son. He's going to come forth in the end. He's going to be in Dublin. And I've got a predestined purpose for him. And it's going to progressively unfold itself as he allows the light to shine on the seed, as he drinks and pushes out, as we saw on Sunday. He's going to express more and more of the potential that I put inside of him. And he's going to, within the boundaries and parameters that I set for him, he's going to fulfill a holy calling, which I gave to him in Christ before the world began. So saints, like I say, I hope I didn't make it more difficult than it should be. But it's a tricky topic, especially when you take those quotes, because some people take them this side and that. But I think, like I said, like marriage and divorce, you can take it this side or this side, but the truth is in the middle of the road. That there is some like predestination, salvation based on foreknowledge, but there's another group of people called the bride, and that's not based on foreknowledge. That's based purely on election. The purpose of God should stand according to election. You know, so may the Lord help us. Let's just pray. Father, we just commit this to you, Lord, just trying to explain these things and take them from your word, take them from the message. May you rightly divide it to our souls, we pray. But Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your blood, the blood of redemption. We thank you for your call that you called us, Lord. When you were dead in sin and trespasses, Lord, God who is rich in mercy, Lord, you called us. And Father, you called us by name. And Father, you've been leading us according to the path that you predestined for us. And Lord, we just desire to fully fulfill all, Father, Lord, that you called us for. So may you bless your people this evening. Bless each and every heart. Bless each and every soul, we pray. Bless the remainder of our fellowship, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless saints. Is there any questions, any thoughts, anything would like to add or clarify? We'd be more than glad to do it. Anybody at all? Or are we shy at the beginning of the year? If there's anybody on YouTube, then you can send it on the WhatsApp here. If you have a question about Clayton, God bless, bro.
God bless you, Pastor. Thank you so much for the wonderful Bible study.
Thank you, bro.
I was thinking about this predestination, that it's purely by amazing grace, especially for the bride. The example that we gave for the apostles, how the likes of Peter and James and John, in those days, they were actually men that were better than them when Jesus came. But God just elected them and just called them like that. And even after he called them, they actually had, before they received the Holy Spirit, they actually manifested this. They were just like everyone else. Sometimes worse off. God, but there's something that you just see, that it's a purely election of God. It's just a story of grace. Amen. Because it just comes back to us as well. From them to us, I see myself like I feel like I'm not even better than others.
Amen. It's true. We're not.
God just chose us, and there's nothing that I've done to deserve his choosing of me. So I think there is the difference, the way you put it, that the other predestination is purely by election of God, by grace.
True, true, true. Absolutely, bro. And the prime example he gives there, bro, Clayton, thank you for that, is Jacob and Esau. He says that Esau was a far better sort of a guy. I mean, looking after his dad nicely, going hunting for him, making him stew. Jacob, he wasn't the best of guys, but there was a predestined seed in Jacob. You see, and he says that predestined seed, that's why he so desired the birthright. Now, if you're predestined, he's going to deal with you a lot harsher than if you're not. You know, he's not going to, I'm not going to give anybody else's children a hiding. The only one I'd give when they were young is my children. I'm not going to correct somebody else's children, but I'm going to correct my children. So the Lord, because you called according to a high calling, he has a purpose. There's an end he's bringing you to be conformed to the image of his son. You called to share his throne. It's not going to be an easy life. He's not going to let you get away with a lot of things. He's going to chastise you as many as I love. I rebuke and chasten. Sometimes it's not going to be easy. Whereas, like we're saying, Joseph compared to the rest of his brothers. Look at his life. Because he had a high calling, he's predestined towards a high calling. Not to say his brothers weren't in that case, they were predestined, but they had easy lives. But look at Joseph, what he had to go through. What the Lord in that calling, because there was a high calling that he was called to, what he had to go through with that. So It's never going to be easy as the life of, if God has laid his hand upon you, it's the most glorious thing, but it's a great responsibility as well. You're not going to be able to live just another life like the rest of your friends or the rest of your natural family and so forth. Yeah, and sometimes you're going to look like David did in Psalm 73 and envy the wicked in their ways and say, but these guys don't have a hard time like me. They got plenty of money all the time and, their cheeks are fat. Hey, me. Whenever I do a little thing wrong, I get a hiding. He says, then I went into the house of God. Then I understood the end. He says, I've been like a fool, Lord. I was thinking like an animal, like a beast. So when he got back in the spirit and got back into the revelation, we started to say, but Lord, no, your ways are wonderful. The end, where you're taking us to and the work you're working in us, these are eternal things that you're doing. So yes, but it's a very good point that you brought up there. And brother, outwardly, even Brother Ram says, he says, you find that the foolish virgin and that, he says in the Church Age book, he says, they outwork the elect in zeal and so forth. I mean, it's like, because it's a works righteousness. You see, they're trying to please God and achieve things by their works. Now, it's wonderful to do works, but do it for the right motive because it's Christ in you. He's ordained us. We are his workmanship ordained unto these things. But there's a lot of people that, they work, do so many works and so many things, good things that they're doing, but it's maybe they're trying to obtain favor with God in that kind of a way. Where if you're a child of God, I can't obtain favor from God in any other way. You had favor with him before the foundation of the world. You're his child. That's why Christ died for you. And that makes you want to work for him with the right motive. But they do a lot more works. God bless, pray. Anybody else there? Anybody else before we finish? Destination and foreknowledge. Like I say, we're trying to get it to the point next week that we'll start getting and take some of these principles, which we've looked at maybe in a theological way this evening, in the scriptures and the message, but we now bring them into flesh. And I mean, you'll be able to apply it. You have already, you can apply them in your own life, and you'll start really seeing the outworking of that call inside of your life. And that's what we're trying to get it to, the lessons the prophet had to learn, though being predestined, though being called according to this divine purpose. But this calling is in an earthen vessel, so you got your human nature as well. And there's the process that he takes us through to bring us to that place that we are conformed to the image of his son, to hear ye him, to adoption. That's why we're calling it the prophet's adoption. And by the grace of God, may the Lord help us. Brother Tony, God bless, bro.
God bless you, brother. Just a quick one here. I like the way Jacob was elected. If you look at Jacob was a serious con artist, and he done his things in a very, very dodgy way. You'd never think of a person like that being called, and then all of a sudden, he's going where he's going to, and then the Lord puts him to sleep, and he sees that the steps, going up.
Yeah, Jacob's ladder.
And he looks back and he says to himself, but what's going on here? But he still doesn't get it, and he keeps going on in that circle, and he keeps going on in that circle until he gets married to another person. I mean, to that the lady he didn't want to get married to, and then gets married to the other girl, the other girl as well. Then he
Yeah,
comes back with her, but then he looks back now and he sees the real calling now was Esau. A lot of people, we don't realize these things that, there's
yeah.
always going to be an Esau for us ahead of us in our lives,
It's
It's
true.
like when I look at myself, I was looking back, I was my best friend, we were drinking the previous night I got baptized, but it's in a Pentecostal church. And we were drinking in a pub. And I said to myself at 4 o'clock in the morning after I come out there, I looked at two destinations, brother. I looked at going to stay by my friend's house or going to the house, going back to I was staying with Auntie Kathy that time up in Great East. So I
Yeah.
walked to Great East because there was something questioning me. I knew the baptism was next the next day, but there was something saying to me, don't go that way, Don't go that way to the baptism. But then I went. But brother, the amazing grace I was given, brother, I stopped smoking, drinking, and doing all my funny things the day I was baptized. But that is in a Pentecostal church. What more in the message, brother? It
True.
shows that when the Lord calls you, brother, he doesn't call you to play about, brother.
And the thing of it is, Tony, is that Jacob, the prophet uses that term. He says he reaped a washtub full for all that he did. That's why Laban came angry and Jacob almost lost his life. And Esau came angry. And God finally got him to a stage of full surrender so that the Israel inside of him could be expressed. That was the real predestination. Up to there, it was potential. It was in part. But finally, he came to his adoption now. Now he came to Israel. Then, you know, now he had his 12 sons and they became the foundation and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, you find that, yes, he was a shyster. He was a crooked guy, but it all found him. And the Lord in the end had to bring him to the time of Jacob's trouble, to bring him to a situation until he finally fully surrendered to that call. You know, it's for the first time he like completely laid himself upon the altar. He was willing to pay the price. If you don't, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And that's when he got desperate like that. That's when there became a change. And now he was Isaac for the rest of he was Israel for the rest of his days. And I think that's the thing. It Esau, now, one good thing there, Tony, you said about Esau. Esau had his inheritance. He was given Edom, the land of Edom. And when Israel came out from Egypt in the Exodus, they were told, don't you take anything from Edom. That's their inheritance. So it doesn't mean other people don't have an inheritance. No, it doesn't mean that God doesn't bless other people with a measure of things. Of course he does. God's blanket stretches far further than we think. He doesn't just throw it on his bride. Yeah, it spills over and God gives Edom. Now he gave the sons of Lot, remember Lot's daughter's sons. He gave them an inheritance as well. And he told Israel, you leave them, that's their inheritance. But the promised land was the inheritance of the sons of Israel. That's the message of the hour. That's the bride. We have our inheritance. Doesn't mean God doesn't bless other people. Other people are healed. I was watching what was taking place in one city in America on the streets when they were preaching and the amount of people coming to the Lord and they were baptizing them in that. It was very powerful. Young people at a college, hundreds of them. It was a real revival. Yeah, you can't. You should rejoice at that because at least this, the general gospel call is working. People are coming to Christ. Now, sometimes you become critical and say, maybe this and that. No, don't do that. You know, let everyone be in their category. You know, if they're not the elect, if they're elect, God's going to bring them in. He'll bring them in the message. If they're not, maybe that's the inheritance they leave there. You know, God knows what he's doing. I've learned that now. Everyone has the predestination speaks of your boundaries that were set for you. Not everyone's supposed to walk with us. Yeah, not everybody is. Remember Joshua, John, who came to Jesus, young John, and he said, we found a man casting out devils in your name and we forbade him. And Jesus rebuked him and said, if he's not against us, he's for us. The guys would rather have let someone stay demon-possessed just because the person didn't walk with them. No, if I hear of somebody praying for the sick and they're being healed, wonderful. At least people are being delivered from sickness. Let God take care of the rest of it after that. I'll never be grieved if I hear someone in some denominational church is casting out demons, and it's a real thing. Wonderful. Demon-possessed people are being delivered from oppression. Maybe that's their inheritance. Maybe they don't go any further than that. That's not up to us. What is that to you? Jesus said to John, follow thou me. That's what you need to keep our eyes on our calling, on our boundaries, our parameters, and let's fulfill the very purpose Christ died for us and called us unto. I think that's the important thing. Anybody else? Thanks, Tony. It was a good contribution there, bro.
Brother Andrew.
Yes. Oh, brother Vlad.
God bless you. God bless you.
God bless, bro.
It's amazing, like you mentioned, Esau.
Yeah.
And Jacob. Jacob was wrestling. He was not a nice fella, but he was fighting for his inheritance.
It's true, bro.
It's amazing. Many times we, like message believers, we want for everyone to be bright.
Of course, it would be nice if everyone was bright, but that's not God's program. We know
that. Yeah, you see? Yeah, that's the thing. And that will make you in, like, you are in peace, let's say, for parents and different things, you know. So it's amazing, you know. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's what Congressman Upshaw said. You can't be something that you hate.
Yeah.
You can't make yourself something that you're not. Lot is a lot. I mean, yeah, that's gonna be. He's gonna be. Let be happy that at least Lot was Lot. At least his soul was grieved by the sins of the city. The Bible calls him a righteous man. He had a righteous soul. Good. Well, that's okay. He never had a name change. He never was circumcised. He never got a body change. But at least he didn't perish in Sodom. And I think that's a good attitude to have. Testify to everybody. Hope and believe everybody is the bride. But if they're not the bride, they're not going to accept it. Tell them, God bless you. Let them go their way. Yeah, that's it. Right? That's the best
it's
attitude.
Amazing. It's once amazing.
Once in a while, you'll hit a genuine rainbow trout, and that makes it all worthwhile.
Today, I was listening something, and brother was saying, if we can't love same way we love brothers and sisters, all others. So Absolutely. We should consider our love, or, you know, our
yeah, it's true.
Experience with Lord. Yeah, so that was amazing.
You know, agape love is like that, but I mean, agape love, like in Christ, it's always looking for the best in a situation, always looking for the best in a person. Now, agape love's not critical. Agape love doesn't try to find fault in a person. It tries to find the good in a person. Barabbas says that. He says, don't speak the bad that you know about somebody. Just speak the good that you know, and God will bless you. I mean, and when you really get in the spirit, you don't want to speak. I mean, sometimes you know this person's got their back parts and that. You don't want to be like Balaam and Balak. No, to be good pointing out the back parts of Israel. No. The shout of the king was in the camp. They had the bloody sacrifice. They had the pillar of fire. And now you're wanting to be looking at the back parts. No, 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 don't do that. No, love doesn't do that. Love covers a multitude of sins. You know, it's a wonderful thing. But it's easy in this age. Brother Bram himself said that in the 1960s. He says, please pray for me. I don't want a critical spirit. It's easy to get a critical spirit. You know, that you look at everything and you criticize it. We don't want that. The spirit of Christ is not a critical spirit. Even Jesus on the cross, like we say, when he looked down at those soldiers, he found only one thing he could pray. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he prayed that. He found something he could pray for them, and he held on to that very one thing. Wow. John, no problem. We hope to see you next week. Anyhow, John. John joined us. He thought it was 19:30. No problem, John. Good to see you there. Whenever you're free next week, 6:30, we, by the grace of God, will continue on. But thanks, Brother Vlad, it's true. You know, I think if the Lord can help us. You know, and the prophet had that attitude. I mean, he would preach for Matson Bose. He'd be friends with Jack Moore. They never saw the message. But the prophet is okay. You know, and he never ever said, these people are wicked, evil people. He said, he'd speak nicely. He'd say that this he says, never was there a finer man than walked in shoe leather than Jack Moore. That's what he said. Yeah, Jack Moore didn't believe the message. You know, and I learned from that myself. I said, okay, a person can only go as far as God allows them to go. A person can only see as much as God allows them to see. So be faithful in your witness. Show as much as you can to as many people as you can and leave the results up to God. And like I say, the prophet says, you'll throw in your net. You put it in, here's a water spider, here's a frog, jump, 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 back. But once in a while, you hit the real fish. And that makes it all worthwhile. And may the Lord help us to do that this year. Brother Vlad, because you're there, why not pray for us, brother, to finish off, if you wouldn't mind.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have opportunity to be at Bible studies, O Lord. It's so nice to be at your feet, O Lord. We can rest, O Lord. We can learn so many things when you speak to our souls, O Lord, to just balance things, because our past was many times we heard this, that, but Lord, you are coming slowly, one by one, just settling us up, O Lord, that we would be established, O Lord. O Lord, we are so thankful even for our pastor. Lord, you give him wisdom, O Lord, how to deal with things, how to present things, O Lord. You bless him for that, Lord. Bless his family. Amen. Bless his children, O Lord. O Lord, we just commit our ways into your hands. O Lord, when we go into our daily things, work, school, wherever we go, O Lord, that we will be just thinking about you, O Lord, expecting your coming, O Lord, loving all believers, O Lord, brothers, sisters, sharing gospel, O Lord, if we can, wherever we can, O Lord. We ask your mercy and grace, Lord. Be with us. We commit our ways into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless, saints. Have a good evening. We'll meet at his feet on Friday. God bless, bro.
God bless you, saints. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you.
God bless you, bro. Each and everyone. Shalom. But Sasha, God bless, bro.
God bless, brother.
Keep us in prayer, bro.